Dave Penny. Hello, Dave.
Morning, Jack.
You are our money expert, and firstly, let me say why you're the expert and I'm not. You came in, you said earlier, tax year starts today, starts next Wednesday. And it does start next Wednesday, and it was even written down for me it starts next Wednesday.
Yes.
So apologies if you're someone who's doing your forms and your tax returns and suddenly thought, blimey, I better start rushing next Wednesday.
It's rather confusingly the 6th of April for some reason.
Why is it the 6th? Why isn't it the 1st, which would just seem a nice round time to do it?
I've got no idea, Jack.
You don't care, do you?
No, you know the dates
and it's all fine. Are you keeping well?
Very well, thank you. Yes, it's spring at last, isn't it?
It's lovely out there. We could do with a bit more sun, but we don't mind it when it's at least not raining.
Exactly.
So busy time of year this for people involved in the world of finance and economics. We've just had the budget that's just gone, and lots of people with lots of things to talk about. As usual, you've picked out some topics for us. Savings, I suppose, is the main thing that people focus on. What's happening in the world of savings from next Wednesday?
From next Wednesday, well, George Osborne has announced all kinds of interesting things in his last budget. ISAs have had some good treatment. He's going to increase the ISA allowance up to £20,000 per person per tax year. He also announced that next year, not this year, but next year, the lifetime ISA is being introduced, which is to help people to save either to buy a first house or for retirement, where the government puts 25% extra in. So if you put £4,000 into one, they'll give you £1,000 of free money, which is good. It's targeted at the under-40s, so people who sometimes don't save as much as they could do. So I think, although rates, of course, are very low on deposit accounts, and that's always an issue perhaps for the retired people, nonetheless, there are efforts being made to try and encourage people to do that.
It seems like, for me, for as long as I can remember, since we've had the recession and the crash back in 2007-08, the common thought was you just can't make any money from a savings account anymore. Interest rates are so low, there's just no point looking for somewhere. They're all much of a muchness. Are we seeing banks now begin to offer more in terms of where you can put your money for a better rate?
I think actually it's almost the opposite.
Really?
Insofar as it's becoming more clear that interest rates are going to be low for a long time because of various economic factors. You know, as long as 3 or 4 years ago they were talking about rates going up, and now rates are looking likely to stay low. Mortgage rates, 5-year fixed rates now are less than 2%. I mean, there are really low rates out there because that's the expectation of the economic situation.
Mm.
That said, inflation is also very low. The CPI is 0.3%. You can get 1.5%. quite easily on deposit, so you can make money in real terms, whereas when rates were 5, 6, 7, 8% on savings, inflation was more than that, so you were losing money. So in a way, saving now does make you money in real terms, albeit it's not going to pay for your yacht
in
the Caribbean.
This is the thing, isn't it? Some people have said, well, are ISAs even worth it anymore? Are they worth the hassle of finding one? I mean, I say hassle, it's not that difficult to do, but are they still worth it to your mind?
They are, although it's worth saying that from the 6th of April this year, there's going to be £1,000 allowance. So the first £1,000 of any interest from savings for all of us now will not be taxed. And let's face it, how many of the nation get more than £1,000 per year in interest from their savings? Not many. So most of us are now being taken out of the tax bracket for our savings, which therefore makes an ISA, you might say, redundant. I guess the only issue is that an ISA allowance, once you haven't used it, it's gone. When it's gone, it's gone. And to wrap it into a permanently tax-free wrapper does make sense, but a little bit less sense than it made perhaps 6 months ago.
If you're joining us late, we're talking money with Dave Penny. I should have given you your full title, Managing Director at Invest Southwest Independent Financial Advisors. And congratulations in order as well. You were in London recently for an award ceremony, and I gather you picked up Top Financial Advisor Invest Southwest.
Yes, amazingly, really. We beat all the big names. We beat the kind of the Hargreaves Lansdowns and the Chase de Veres, and we were voted the Top Financial Advisor in the country for 2016. Although the year isn't finished yet.
No, you've still got a bit of time left on that. Was this a Dickie Bowes and Fancy Meals affair?
It was. It was a highfalutin sort of Marylebone in London event, which we went just to go along to and couldn't quite believe he'd won it.
Well, look, we want to talk to you more. If people have questions for Dave as well, as we always say, don't leave it until he's gone. When he walks out that door, we can't go and stop his car and holler to get him back. 0345 303 1566 is our number. It's 81333 to text. Start your message, please, with the word Somerset. Dave, we're going to play a song, and then we're going to be talking about savings accounts that are out there apart from ISAs. And I want to talk to you a little bit about George Osborne's changes in the budget and maybe a bit on pension scams as well. Sound good to you?
Yes, indeed.
Fantastic. It's 9:45. Do remember, keep your calls coming in on the songs you'd like to hear in our A to Z of popular music. Money with Dave Penny. Dave, song requests. We're doing them from 10 through until 12. We're doing the A to Z of music. There are some requests, as for the listeners, as for you, that we're not going to be able to play because the lyrics are a bit and we can't find them. But any one that I can add on our list for you, what would you like?
Well, Jack asked me for an F, and so therefore, obviously, it has to be George Michael and Faith, doesn't it?
Faith, very good choice. Right, F is on the list, and I don't think we have an F yet. Poor Jack and Susie are just tearing their hairs out because we have created a bit of a monster with this one, so we can't guarantee we'll play your song, but we'll do as many as we can. And for you, Dave, we'll definitely play Faith.
Thank you very much.
Let's do a couple of comments that are coming in. This is from Brian. He says, Jack, you're talking about money. He says, very interesting what Dave's saying. Any chance you can tell us how much money you'd need to invest into a cash ISA to get £1,000 in interest? Now, I'm going to give you a bit of time to ponder that one and get out your calculator. If you have questions for Dave, it's 0345 303 1566 to call, 81333 to text. That is our number. We're talking all things finances and financial. And the question from Brian, can you tell listeners how much cash you'd have to have invested into a cash ISA to get £1,000? I suppose that depends where you're going to some extent, Dave.
Yes. If you assume that you can get a variable rate cash ISA with about a 1.5% rate of interest, then that's £66,666.67.
So it's a fair bit of money, Brian, if you've got that under the mattress.
Yes.
But some people will have that saved somewhere.
Yes, of course, if it's in an ISA, that £1,000 thing doesn't really matter. It's only if it's outside of an ISA, then you could potentially be taxed, but your first £1,000 is tax-free.
Let's talk about other saving accounts that are out there. We focused a lot on ISAs, but that won't be for everyone. Where else can people make a bit of money from their money?
Well, I've talked previously about having pots of money, having money for your current account and your bills, having money for emergencies and planned spending, and then for any additional money that you have, longer-term money, you have to ask yourself when you might use it. Lots of people think, well, when I'm retired, I want an income in retirement, my income will stop. So then, of course, it's things like pensions, the new lifetime ISA that's been announced, and really then you probably want to move away from cash and you want to be invested in things which do fluctuate. So
yes,
things like stocks and shares and property and government bonds.
Is that difficult to get people into that mindset? Because my dear mother says, if I put in a certain amount, I want to know, guaranteed, I'm going to get that money back. And that was something her grandparents taught to her and their grand, and so on and so on and so on. In the modern world, is that an attitude that you can really work with anymore? Or do you have to accept you're going to get a better return for a little bit of risk?
I think in the modern world and the old world, that philosophy means that over time, after inflation, you will lose money. So it's all very well saying, I want certainty, I want guarantees, but it means it's a guarantee of a loss.
I see. So the certainty is you're going to lose cash anyway.
In real terms, after inflation, yes.
You touched on pensions there a little bit. It's very easy, and correct me if I'm wrong, because I'm obviously not at that age yet, but the government changes where people can withdraw all their pension to get scammed, to get conned. Are you seeing more of that at the moment?
Lots and lots. And we have people coming to us. I had somebody recently saying, I want all the money out of my pension to give to my children because I'll be, if I die before that, then all the money will be lost. And we were able to say, no, the money does go to your children, don't remove it. So there's lots of people who have misconceptions about what pensions do and who have some rather wacky ideas about what to do with it. The Citizens Advice Bureau did a survey recently saying that 90% of people are missing pension scam warnings, and amazingly in the last year 11 million people have received cold calls and emails about releasing money from their pensions, and these are almost all of them are scams.
Well, and we saw on Points West I can't remember if it was 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, the case of a Somerset woman who lost everything, tens of thousands of pounds, and some banks are saying now as well, look, if you don't take security measures, if you're not smart enough to spot a scam coming, we're not necessarily going to help you recover the cash. Am I right in saying that?
Yes, indeed. And of course, I think the example that was mooted then was proven to be a little bit harsh. But nonetheless, of course, it's down to us to be responsible. If we are irresponsible with our money, we have to face the consequences. And that when you have freedom, of course, you have the freedom to make mistakes. And so in the CAB survey about these scams, 2/3 of people said that they would consider doing something significant with their pension without any formal checks. They might look at the website, they might ask some friends, but they wouldn't actually go to an expert to say, is what I'm doing with my tens of thousands of pounds a good idea? And that is rather terrifying.
It's lunacy, isn't it?
It's terrifying, yes.
That was a pension change. It was brought in from the coalition government, I think, 2010-11.
Yes.
Most recent budget we've had, obviously, has created some difficulties for the government, but they have had some significant changes in there that George Osborne's announced. Anything that caught your eye in particular on that one, Dave?
Well, we've talked about the £1,000 allowance on interest. We've talked about the lifetime ISA, which I think is quite revolutionary, that if you're under 40, you start saving, you get a 25% uplift. You can use that for buying a house or for your retirement income. Now, what's good about that compared to pensions is when you take money out of this, it's tax-free. All of it's tax-free. In a pension, you get a quarter of it tax-free and the remainder is taxed. So the lifetime ISA will become attractive to some people over and above pensions, give them some flexibility to withdraw it if they want to during their lifetimes. I think you'll find in 5-10 years time we'll look back and go, that was a very big announcement.
And just finally, Dave, because your time is precious and we must let you get away to other matters, but perhaps slightly tongue-in-cheek, but triggered an interesting debate. John in Bath says, if I win £33 million on the lottery tomorrow, what should I do with it? You've encountered people who've not won the big jackpot, but they've won enough. It must come as a tremendous burden or shock.
Yes, it's funny. It's actually quite a stressful experience for a couple of people I've advised with six-figure lottery wins. Of course, because the money comes in without any announcement. Suddenly it's there. Inheritances or money you've saved, you get used to it, you develop that. But yeah, it's quite a stressful experience. I think simple, basic, fundamental techniques, consider paying off any debts you have, mortgages, credit cards, overdraft, that kind of thing. If it's a big one, £33 million, firstly, do come and see me.
Yes. You know our numbers. We'll all take a share of it,
but,
yes.
But seriously, I would keep that quiet. If ever you have a big win like that, don't tell people around you, or at least don't tell the world, because you're going to be plagued by all kinds of requests and people will judge you differently.
Yes.
Another one that sounds really obvious is write a will. For goodness sake, so many people
yes.
don't have wills. Two-thirds of the nation don't. If you've got big assets like that, you need to make sure it goes to the people that you wanted to go to.
Sound advice as always. Dave, we will let you crack on, my friend. We will play Faith by George Michael for you. Busy day for you now?
Yes, always busy this time of year, yes.
Good to have you with us. Appreciate it as always. Dave Penny, explaining the world of money, helping a simpleton like myself put it into terms that we can all understand. Managing Director at Invest Southwest, Independent Financial Advisors. It's 5 to 10.